brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyer, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Let's see, what's the most important thing we could start out with tonight? The Catholic Church is in a mess. In Israel, they haven't bombed that church yet in Bethlehem. Hopefully they'll bomb that church. We've got calls already, and we'll get to your call shortly, 1-800-8-NYART. But this, I think, we should begin with, because we're running out of time, really. The question is, how old is the universe? How old is the universe? Now, what do they normally say it is? Normally. Well, when I was young, the universe was about 6 billion years old. That's when I first learned how old the universe was, if I recall right. And then when I was in high school, maybe a little younger than that, what was it, 8 or 10 billion years old? By the time I got to college, I think it was 16 billion years old. So it ages, I guess, faster than we do. But at any rate, because I think the evolutionary astronomers and atheistic scientists, I think they don't know what they're doing. And they have a preconceived notion, and so they desperately want to make the facts fit their theory. But facts are very stubborn things. So now, the story is out in the Washington Post that according to an astronomer at the University of British Columbia, working with the Hubble Space Telescope, they said it turns out the universe is not 16 billion years old. It's only about 13 billion years old. It's younger than we previously thought. All right, so if it's younger, now let me quote a little bit from this Washington Post article. It's actually an Associated Press piece out today. They say that they used the Hubble Space Telescope and gathered images of the faintest dying stars that they could find in a star cluster about 7,000 light years away. And what they were, their goal was to look at embers of ancient dying stars and measure them and see if they're cooling and use that to somehow figure out how old the Earth, the universe is. Okay. And so they're, of course, they're working on the standard idea of the Big Bang. That the Big Bang, how does the Big Bang work? What's the theory of the Big Bang? That some billions of years ago that the universe came into existence through an explosion. That's the theory of the Big Bang. Now, ask yourself if you can get a rock from nothing. If you have nothing, can you get a rock from nothing? No, you cannot get a rock from nothing. You can't do that. That's magic. If you have nothing, there's only nothing, and then you have the universe. Where did the Big Bang come from? What caused the Big Bang, if in fact such a thing happened? Well, I don't believe that the Big Bang happened. I don't believe that. And I believe that the universe was created, as was our sun and our Earth, a short time ago. And relatively short time ago. And if there's anybody out there that has solid evidence, and maybe you could refute the evidence that the Earth and our solar system is very young and that the universe is young, well, then I'd like to hear your evidence. But now the Washington Post is doing this story. But I remember a story out of Newsweek from a couple years ago. And Newsweek really had a fascinating study because what they found out was, well, they found a structure, scientists did, not Newsweek. By the way, this was January 2001. They found a cluster of galaxies. You know, the Milky Way, that's our galaxy. Andromeda's, that's another galaxy. Well, they found a cluster. A bunch of Milky Way galaxies, for example, each one with billions of stars, and they're all clustered together. And they say that this these galaxies are 6.5 billion light years away, which would mean, in their understanding, that that light took 6.5 billion years to get here. The problem, they say, the scientists say, this is a huge problem. All right, the scientists at the National Optical Astronomy Observatories, they said this cluster of galaxies is 500 million light years across. What caused all this matter, all these stars, all these galaxies to cluster together? What pulled them all together in a cluster? Since the universe is somewhat reasonably, the matter is somewhat evenly dispersed throughout the universe, why is there this dense cluster right here? And the normal answer would be gravity. Aha. But they say that gravity, since this is that far away, it's also that long ago. In other words, we're looking at a cluster of galaxies that, in their understanding, the way it was 6.5 billion light years ago. And if the universe is only 16 billion years old, well, that's a year ago. Today it's younger. But if it's only 16 billion years old, then this cluster of galaxies came together just 10 billion years after the Big Bang. And the problem, they say, is that there was not nearly enough time for gravity to pull together such a huge cluster. To quote astronomer Gerard Williger, he said, gravity simply would not have had the time to pull a structure together that is 500 million light years across, given the age of the universe back then. It couldn't have happened. And yet, in Newsweek, let me quote from Newsweek. And yet, there it is. That's what they say. And yet, there it is. Now, if the universe is a few billion years younger, of course, this problem is multiplied. But it's just not so that an accident brought about the incredible sophistication, the design of our universe, our solar system, and life on this planet. It's inane to think these things happened by chance. You know, they also found, they're finding what they believe are planets on nearby stars. And it's a neat thing they're doing, and I always hope that scientists significantly increase our information of the world and the universe around us. But they found this star with two planets. The one planet takes 30 days to orbit its star, and the other planet takes exactly 60 days, exactly, to orbit the star. Now, what's with that perfect harmony? You know, that we see that here in our solar system with Jupiter and Pluto. It's just amazing stuff that God made.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl, called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. and always easy to understand and clear-thinking Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Welcome back. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So if there's something so big out there in the universe that gravity could never have brought together in the short time they say the universe was here, then that's just one of countless pieces of strong evidence, huge, massive quantity of evidence that their theory is wrong. Let's go to Front Royal, Virginia. Jane, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Boy, I always learn so much when I listen to your show.
Thank you, ma'am.
Well, I have a question. We really value your opinion and your ideas, and we are homeschooling. We have four children.
All right.
And they're all teens now. One of them is almost 18, and we're looking at college.
Okay.
Now, I've heard you talk about public school.
Yeah.
And I agree with you very strongly about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college myself. I went to a Christian college for a year and a half, and I wasn't very impressed with it. And my husband went to a technical college, and it wasn't a live-in situation, so it was pretty good for him. But
mm-hmm.
we're looking at, for Daniel's senior year, sending him for a dual credit, taking a few classes at the local community college.
Right.
And then he wants to be a computer programmer
mm-hmm.
and then have a music ministry on the side. So he's going to probably need college, but as I went over to the community college a little while back and I looked at some of the things they had hanging up, they had that day of silence for homos.
Right,
I'm,
right, right.
I'm glad it's not May because I couldn't have said that.
Right.
But,
that's right. May,
they had,
for the month of May is a homo-free zone here on Bob Enyart Live. We're not going to talk about homosexuals that whole month.
Right.
But okay, so yeah, they had that, of course.
And they also in their ethics, outside their ethics classroom, they had quotes from Buddha and all this, and it was very ungodly. And of course it would be, it's just a community college. But
right.
If I have my son wants to be a programmer,
right.
I can't teach him that. So you have boys that are coming up to that
yeah,
age.
Right.
And I thought maybe that you had thought this through
well,
about
it,
college.
It definitely, you know, when our kids become adults, then they become adults. And, of course, you know, we've protected them as they were growing up so that when they're adults now, they're ready to go on their own and we can give them their lives, whereas so many kids today, by the time they're 18, their lives are over. They've already ruined their lives. So that's the beauty of being a very strict Christian conservative family, homeschool family. You can give your kids their lives when they're ready to take them. And you guys obviously are doing that. And then when your kids become adults, I don't think it happens in one day, but as they become adults, then of course they have to get ready to take life on their own and
right.
deal with life's challenges. So if our kids, if they wanted to be, let's say, an architect or a doctor, then pretty much they're going to have to go to college. Hopefully, we'll see a renaissance of apprenticeship and professional mentors where people could learn professions without wasting 5 years partying, getting drunk, and at the incredibly slow rate of getting an education that you have in the American higher education system. So hopefully those things will increase down the road as homeschool kids have a bigger influence in our economy, in our world. But for programming, you know, you don't need to go to college to become a programmer, that's for sure. And Microsoft, for example, they certify people. You take classes and you take tests and you could prove that you know how to work with these various tools mm-hmm. and you get certified. And a lot of people hiring who need programmers, they're looking for people who know how to do the job. Now, it very well may be that a college degree might get you that job more easily. But on the other hand, the college degree is probably going to take you 5 years if you have a typical experience. So somebody else who takes a crash course in programming and learns how to program at home on his computer with computer books written by Greg Perry, or other great computer authors, and you could learn at home how to program. And then you start getting jobs and you work your way up. I had these awesome jobs. I was a program manager for Microsoft. I was writing a functional spec for one of their networking products back in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s. Uh-huh. And I wrote for PC Week, and I was a systems analyst, a computer systems analyst for the phone company for 3 years. And I do not have a college degree. I don't have a degree.
Wow.
And I worked for the phone company for 3 years, I was a business systems consultant, computer systems consultant. We designed computer systems and networks.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I did. And when I thought about getting a degree in computers, and I asked friends who had degrees, well, what can you do with a degree? And they said, well, one of the things you could do is you could be a systems analyst. I said, oh, what is a systems analyst? I said, that's where you design the entire system from beginning to end, and then other people do the work of putting it together.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, that sounds fun. So I skipped the 4 years. I did take some programming classes at Arizona State University, but I went right to the systems analyst job, sort of skip over those 4 years of not making any money and going $100,000 in debt or $50,000 or whatever school you go to.
Uh-huh.
So, it's...
You know, Bob, that reminds me of a story that you told a while back about one time that you were out of work and you wanted a temporary job.
Yeah.
And, let's see, I'm trying to remember what the program was. Well, you were being interviewed and you weren't familiar with it.
Let me tell the audience.
Okay.
Oh, it's so much of succeeding in life, in a career, is your attitude.
Right.
And so I had moved my family to Denver, Colorado to study the Bible at Derby School of Theology. That's why we moved here. And I sent out my resume to every temporary agency in Denver, which has got to be 25. And any number of them said, well, we can put you to work. And so I talked to the one that could got me a job interview at the phone company. Uh-huh. So I took that and I filled in for a secretary for 2 weeks. And they needed somebody who knew how to use Lotus 1-2-3,
yeah,
and how to use Symfony, which was their word processing spreadsheet database package. And so she asked me if I would be intimidated by that software, if I could use it. And I said to her name was Dorothy. She was an executive secretary in the corporate headquarters. I said, Dorothy, let me make you a promise. You go for 2 weeks and come back, and then I'll stay an extra week, and I'll teach you how to use Lotus Symfony in 1-2-3. Now, I had never used Symfony. I don't think I had ever heard of it.
Uh-huh.
But I knew that if you applied yourself, you could learn it.
Right.
And so she said, would you do that? Because I don't really know how to use this software. And I said, you bet, I'll teach your whole department.
Wow.
So I asked her if I could take home the books. Back then, they gave you heavy, like telephone book reference manuals for software programs. And so I took home the two, there were maybe 600 pages, and that was a Friday afternoon. I slept maybe 3 hours a night. I read nonstop till Monday morning. When I went in, I was an expert on Lotus 1-2-3 and Symfony. And I did stay after the 2 weeks. She came back from vacation, and I taught her and the whole department how to use that software that they had standardized on. And then I started teaching the whole corporate headquarters. I started teaching computer classes on things I had never heard of. But you just learn how to do it, and then you teach.
Yeah.
And then eventually they offered me a job, and I took the job. And I had a great time there for 3 years.
That's a great story.
So if you're – and I imagine, Jane, your kids are homeschool kids. They're probably bright, sharp. they probably learned something in their education.
Oh, definitely.
That right there puts them way ahead of everybody else.
Right.
So somebody else might have a degree but not really know how to read too well. So if one of our teenagers is getting on with their life and knows what he wants to do and he needs some college courses, then he should take the college courses. But, you know, you could take them over the internet, and you there's a lot of ways to take college courses.
Right.
And you don't have to go. My mother went, Al and my mom, who are moving here to Denver to be a part of Bob and Yurt Live Ministry from New Jersey, they went to a Catholic college on, what was it, Saturday night? And my mother tells me that they went into the, and it's just a college, you know, it's Catholic supposedly, mm-hmm. but it's just a college. And my mother said that it was a nightmare. There was a dance going on. They weren't there for the dance. They were there for a play. The play was blasphemous. Mm. They were walking down the hall, and they heard music, and she said, Al, come on, let me show you what college is like. And they went, and they looked into this room, a bunch of teenagers, 24-year-olds, probably trying to take advantage of the 18-year-old freshman girls. And it was a disaster.
Right.
And my mother said, I do not want to encourage my grandkids to go to college.
And that's what I worry about, too, things like that. And after seeing your movie, Get Out of the Matrix, made me even more.
Oh, that's a funny video, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was an eye-opener, too.
And that's what college classes are like. I mean, you couldn't find a more dim-witted group of people.
Right.
If you put potatoes in place of the students, you'd have a hard time measuring an IQ difference. They were just morons. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to talk.
Right.
They can't reason. They can't evaluate evidence.
And not only that, they don't recognize logic when they hear it.
Yeah, it's just, well, remember, we say it in our commercials, but they had a philosophy teacher, and we got to debate her too, but she had taught them, and they believed it, that you can only know that which your five senses tell you. So I said, I challenged them. I said, which one of your five senses told you that?
Right.
Was it your sense of taste? Did you lick it and find out that you could only know that which your five senses tell you? Did you smell it? Somehow your nose, your olfactory system told you? And none of your five senses could tell you that. But the teacher and the students are together. They're mindless. They're like drones. So we urge them to get out of the matrix.
Right. And they don't even believe there's such a thing as reality.
We've
heard that recently, too.
Right. They don't believe in truth. They said there's no such thing as absolute truth.
Right.
So I asked them, is that absolutely true?
Yeah.
They're unbelievably stymied. It's just funny. Jane, do you recommend that video to others?
Oh, I definitely do.
Get out of the matrix.
Get out of the matrix. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Maybe we'll sell a few of those and stay on the air another night.
Right.
Jane, I'm sure your kid's going to be great. I'm concerned about our kids. We don't want them to go to college, so we're not going to pay for them to go to college, just like my mom didn't pay for us to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're successful and our kids are successful, if they have good lives, young sons wants to marry a beautiful young woman, and they want to get a house, if we can help them, we'll help them get a house.
Right.
We'll help them in whatever we can if they don't really need our help. If they're desperate and they need our help, then we're not going to help them.
Right. So they'll work harder.
Exactly. But, hey, thanks so much, Jane.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Nice woman. Hey, goodbye to Denver. Denver, we're only on the first half hour, and it's 1 hour tape delay in Denver. For the rest of you, we'll be back. Take a call from Massachusetts. Okay, we're in a live commercial break, and I want to tell you about some of our seminars. Now, many of you listening to the show, maybe because we're on radio stations around the country that we hadn't previously been on, you don't know a lot about Bob and Yurt Live, but we've done seminars all over the country, from Honolulu to Pittsburgh, and dozens of seminars, thousands of attendees, and let me tell you about some of them. God's criminal justice system. six tapes, and we go through, we show that the Bible is a criminal justice textbook. And we have law enforcement people, from prosecutors to sheriffs to investigators, deputy sheriffs, prison guards, and who else? We've got a federal judge who has endorsed our Bible teaching on criminal justice, how to solve the crime epidemic in America, and how to preach the gospel more effectively at the same time. Because God gave the law as a tool for evangelism. And the death penalty is the foundation of the gospel. Jesus Christ was executed to provide for our salvation at the demand of the Father who insisted upon justice. So when Christians are wishy-washy on the death penalty, they don't realize it, but they're undermining the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't know that, but that's what they're doing. So what a fun seminar. And you could get it on audio tape for only $29.95. Most of the seminars were $50 to attend. And then you still needed to buy the tapes for $30. This is an opportunity for you to experience a seminar, just $29.95. You give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. Also, we have the Predestination and Free Will Seminar on tape. Six tapes, and one called The Tree. The Tree. That is a fun. Now, we've got people from Alabama here. Have you ever heard The Tree Seminar? We got thumbs up five times. It's fun, isn't it? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What's with that tree in the garden? And, oh, man, what a fun seminar. And then we've got the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. So if you'd like to attend one of these seminars or get all four for a discount, 1-888-8-NYART. All right, we're back. Hey, somebody's upset about there's a homosexual who has called into the show twice from Minneapolis, Eva the evil lesbian. And we have here, she emailed one of our listeners who forwarded to me, and she was saying that Bob Inyar is hateful. And she said, having a homos make me sick month is hateful. May is National Homos Make Me Sick Month. Now, wait a minute. How could a homosexual like Eva, well, she's not a homo. She's a female homo. She's a FOMO. But how could a FOMO say that you're hateful just for expressing who you are, your uniqueness? This is who I am. I've come out of the closet. I was afraid to say in public what I was like, who I really was, and that I was born this way. But finally, I got the courage to come out of the closet and say, homos make me sick. Two guys, they're going to get romantic. I'm going to throw up. It's a gag reflex that God gave me. It's like trying to eat some putrid flesh out of the gutter. You can't do it. It'll make you throw up, and so will looking at two homos, unless you get conditioned to look at them. And God made us like that so that we protect ourselves and our kids from homos. Hush, man. So anyway, let's go to Massachusetts. And who is this? Hello, Massachusetts. Come in. You're on the air.
Okay.
What's your name?
I'm kind of short on time. But
okay, go ahead.
I just want to ask you. I like believe the theory of creation, you know, being Christian and all, but how do I convince my science teacher, she's like an evolutionist, that evolution, like, did not exist, that it's wrong?
Well, you can get her one of the many, many great books written by scientists refuting evolution. Or you can ask her if she would talk to a Denver talk show host so that we can discuss evolution on the air. You think she would be willing to do that, have a debate on evolution?
I might try.
Yeah, you obviously know our phone number, so you could ask her, and we would call her. We'd set it up, let the audience know, and we'd ask her to present, let's say, her five best pieces of evidence for evolution, and we would present our five best pieces of evidence for creation and see how it goes.
Okay.
So, but I'm afraid that she probably won't take you up on the offer, because creationists are very willing to debate creation and evolution because we have so much science on our side. But evolutionists are very, they're afraid to debate the subject of creation and evolution. They're afraid. Evolution professors, authors, they're afraid to do it because there have been quite a few refereed scientific debates, and generally the evolutionists get slaughtered, generally. So, of course, it depends somewhat on the skill of the debaters. But has she given you one piece of good evidence that showed that we've evolved?
Well, you know, it's like they're basic all the time, that monkeys look like humans, so they must be, you know, somehow related. It's like the obvious one.
Okay. So monkeys look like humans, so we must be related. Now,
you know, like
the problem with that kind of thinking is that they need to find evidence that supports evolution as against creation, because some people say God created. And if God wanted to make many different kinds of birds, species of birds, you would think that there would be some similarities between them because of the design requirements. So the fact that birds all have wings doesn't mean, that's not evidence that they evolved. So they need something that specifically evolution claims that creation does not claim, because creation claims that God created many thousands of different species, and he made a lot of them with similar, for example, our genetics. We share the same protein molecules, and our DNA makes proteins in the same way, and you would think that God would do that. So, okay, we look like monkeys, so therefore she thinks we've evolved. Any other evidence?
She hasn't told us yet, you know.
All right. She's keeping it a secret. Mm-hmm. It's such a big thing. You know what's funny? We've talked to so many students on this show for 10 years, and they say, well, I believe in evolution. And we say, why? What are the two or three pieces of evidence that convince you? And they just try not to drool while they're on the call. That's their main goal. They think, well, if I don't drool, maybe I'll win the debate. And they don't have evidence. And, of course, some people might present a couple arguments, but there's no good arguments for evolution because it never happened. But if you get a piece of evidence from her, call us up or ask her to call in, or we'll call her. All right?
All right. Okay.
Thank you so much.
See you, Bob.
Appreciate your call.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So I like the fact that scientists find these huge clusters out there. Well, this one in particular, it's such a huge cluster that they say there's no way gravity could have ever pulled it together. It just could not have happened. This cluster of galaxies, it's near the constellation Leo. Leo the lion. You know those 12 constellations? They've pretty much been the same since the dawn of man. That's a neat topic too. Why do the constellations, why is there a lion in a virgin, Virgo? And why one of the constellations of the 12 zodiacs, and each zodiac has three constellations associated with it, and Virgo, the virgin, has one of the constellations is Coma, the child. That's pretty cool. And the zodiacs obviously tell a story, the scales of justice and the ram and all that. They obviously tell a story. Draco, the dragon, the constellations in the zodiacs. And what is the story? And since they form a circle in the sky going around the Earth's precession or around the sun, where is the beginning of the story and where's the end of the story? Because the circle doesn't have a beginning or an end. So how do you know where it begins or ends? And a brilliant author I read years ago said that, you know, the 12 zodiacs, the key to finding the beginning of the story could very well be the Sphinx in Egypt. And the Sphinx with the head of a woman and the body of a lion shows the beginning and the end of the zodiac, with Virgo, the virgin, being the beginning of the story, and the lion, the royal lion, the king, being the end. And, of course, Christ, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, as the Bible says, going from his virgin birth to his reigning as king. And it's quite a story. We capture highlights of that story in a video we did called Planets, Stars, and the Bible. That's a fun video. Have you seen that video, Mike? Oh, you got to get that video. See, now Alabama has seen the video, but Denver hasn't. It's a weird ministry we have. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So, yes, May is National Homos Make Me Sick Month. And this homosexual, this FOMO, she's mad at me for saying that. Hey, take it up with the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. It's their month. Take it up with them. So anyway, I want to tell you about a real sad development about, oh, brother, it's just so incredible. Pedophiles, the Catholic Church is fighting their pedophile issue, and some of the bishops are saying, it's not pedophilia. The kids that the priests were involved with, many of them were teenagers. But that just doesn't really cut it for me. I'm sorry, that's not very persuasive. But anyway, here's this is an Associated Press story. Oh, no, it isn't. It's a news service story about arguments in academic journals that are saying that it should be legal for adults to have sexual relations with children. Now, you've heard of the group NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. For many years, they've been promoting legalizing sex with children. And their slogan is sex by eight or it's too late. But in this article, they're saying that academics, mainstream academic universities, their publications are beginning to defend sex with children.
We all know Bob Enyart is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive 4 sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Enyart's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer-than-God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We're back. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so this article, which, by the way, it quotes James Dobson and Nurse Laura. Well, not Nurse Laura. Dr. Laura, that's right. Let me quote to you a little bit from it. It says that those making the case for sex between adults and children are not just fringe groups any longer, like NAMBLA, but some academics at mainstream universities are beginning to defend the practice. Members of this school of thought stress that they do not condone coercing children into sex. Oh my, how's that? So they're against raping children, supposedly, and that they are not pro-pedophilia. They say, we're not pro-pedophilia, but they contend that minors are capable of agreeing to and even initiating sex with adults. That's what a number of these priests say, and some of the bishops have blamed the kids, saying it was the kids' fault. The kids were the ones that seduced the priests. Boy, you know, I'd like to flog anybody who would dare say those words. Just flog them. Take that stupid pointy hat off your head, get over here, and you're going to get 20 lashes for that statement. That makes me angry when people blame children. Now, that I'm not talking about these people at these universities. Let me continue with the article. These academics seek to change the language, moving away from pedophilia. And in its place, there would be more neutral terms such as intergenerational sex or adult-child sex. You know, we've said for years on the show that liberals are child sex advocates. And they are, and it's happening. With more research, some scholars say, it may be only a matter of time before American society accepts adult-child sex just as it has learned to accept premarital and homosexual sex. You know what? I completely agree with that analysis of these research scholars who say that eventually America will accept this. I agree with that. Look at our Republican U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks ago on their child pornography ruling, striking down a significant part of our child pornography laws and making it so very difficult to prosecute somebody for possessing child pornography and to prosecute child pornographers. You know, somebody now sells child pornography over the web, and they say it's computer-engineered child pornography. So thousands of people buy it openly. And, of course, there's all kinds of video and photographs of real kids being sexually abused. And those buying it, how can we prosecute them now? They say, well, I thought it was computer designed. I thought it was virtual children. And so how could they prosecute them for committing a crime when they didn't know? They were supposedly innocent in their purchase of child pornography. And so, of course, child pornography, it feeds the perverts who want to molest children. Of course it does. And the liberals say it takes a village to... What did Hillary say, that book of hers? It takes a village to raise an idiot. Oh, no, that's not it. What did she say? She wrote a book. It takes a village to satisfy my husband. No, that wasn't it. What was the book she wrote? It takes a village to raise a child. That's right. We quoted from that book on the TV show the day it came out, and that was a lot of fun. But anyway, Liberals say it takes a village to raise a child, and then they couldn't care less if thousands of adult men are obsessed with pictures of children having sex. They couldn't care less. And obviously, a percentage of those men are going to act out that fantasy in the child pornography, whether 100% real or 100% virtual, is going to feed that perversion, and kids are going to suffer, and the liberals couldn't care less, and neither could the seven, well, not all seven, but neither could the Republican U.S. Supreme Court. Because how many of the nine U.S. Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republicans? Seven of them. Seven. Seven of the nine were appointed by Republicans. And I'm mad at the Republicans right now because of all the pro-homosexual and pro-child pornography and pro-abortion rulings by the Republican U.S. Supreme Court. I'm mad about that because supposedly we put Republicans into the White House to get some good judges. And if we get nine appointed by Republicans, will the court be better or worse? Well, we have seven of the nine right now, and it's pretty wicked. It's a pretty wicked U.S. Supreme Court, and seven of the nine were appointed by Republicans. Seven of the nine. What a tragedy. Just an outright tragedy. So let me continue here. Now, I'll quote in this article from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Right? University of Missouri, Kansas City. Harris Merkin, Associate Professor of Political Science. Children, he wrote, are the last bastion of the old sexual morality. You get that quote from him? Children are the last bastion of the old sexual morality. Now, the old sexual morality was only within marriage. That's the old sexual morality. And now it's okay, outside of marriage, before marriage, extramarital, between members of the same sex, multiple partners, between different species. That's legal. You know, standard zoning code, boilerplate for zoning code around the country. If your county is going to throw out their old antiquated zoning code and put in a new one, and of course they'll grandfather in all existing structures and businesses, but they put in a new zoning code, and that zoning code states the boilerplate for zoning codes for American cities and counties. The boilerplate says that it's, you know, they use zoning codes to legislate, which is stupid. But anyway, they do. And so they say, for example, certain adult-oriented businesses could only operate in certain types of neighborhoods. Now, it should be criminal to exploit women sexually. That should be criminal. It shouldn't be legal, but it's legal. But anyway, in the zoning codes, so they'll say where you could exploit women sexually and make money off of that, where you can do it. And they also now allow for sex entertainment, where the entertainment is adults and animals. Yeah, adults with animals. Whether they're selling it at books, at adult video stores, videos of adults, and or just people and animals having sex. Or whether it's some type of an entertainment, a stage show or something. That's in the boilerplate zoning regulations. Now, is that bizarre or what? Who would have ever thought that bestiality would be codified in our zoning regulations? That's, I tell you, the enemy is resourceful. Now, how did I find out about this? Well, I was on a TV station in Denver some years back, and they wanted to build a new station with a really beautiful, large facility. And my show was on, and I was very controversial. So they thought that if it got out in the news that the station I was on was going to build this, the zoning committee would be against them and veto their plans. That's what they thought. So anyway, they're going real quietly. They don't want to make any waves. They don't want to announce it. They want to get the approval. So I get a phone call at the office, and it's from, now her name was, I'll say her name on the air, Kim Walls. Kim Walls in Douglas County. She says, Bob Enyart? Yes, ma'am. This is Kim Walls. I'm with the Zoning Commission in Douglas County. I'm like, oh, no. How did they find out about me? She said, Bob, I found out your station wants to build here in our county. We're thrilled. Me and another woman on the Zoning Commission, we love your show. We hope this project goes right through, and we're going to approve it. So I said, all right, Kim, praise the Lord. And then she said, let me tell you what it's like being on a zoning commission. And she told me that the county lawyer had wanted them to just rubber stamp this new zoning code, hundreds of pages or 1,000 pages, 500, however many pages, just rubber stamp it. You guys, you don't have the time to read through this. And this is the boilerplate, which is being used all over the country. And they're Christians, these two women. And they said, no, we're going to read it. And they're reading it, and they find if they signed it, it would be legal for establishments to give entertainment where there was sex between humans and animals. That they were going to legalize that through the zoning code. In Douglas County, which is an extraordinarily wealthy, fast-growing county, one of the wealthiest in the country. So that's how I found out about that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known it, probably. But I imagine the perverts who run the homosexual video stores, they probably know it. Because Denver probably has that boilerplate somewhere. And your town, your county, I don't know. But so there's an effort underway. And it's been gaining momentum. For example, a judge in Florida threw out a law that an age of consent law where a teenage girl had sex with an adult man and it was under the age of consent. And the judge said, well, if a woman has the right to do what she chooses with her own body to have an abortion, and that's constitutional, then obviously this can't be constitutional to tell this woman she could have an abortion with no one's permission. So obviously she could have sex with no one's permission. So of course that judge is a pervert, and that judge wants to have sex with as many women as he could get away with. And the younger the better. He doesn't know right from wrong. If he did, he probably wouldn't be a judge. He'd be kicked off the bench. How many of the U.S. Supreme Court judges believe that an unborn child is an innocent human being that the government has an obligation to protect? How many of them? That's their position. The number? Zero. Not one. Not one. Go ask the National Right to Life about that. The two closest to a position of protecting the child, Thomas and Scalia, they say, well, if a state votes to make it legal to kill an unborn baby, well, then it should be legal. How about that? What if they voted to kill a homosexual? You think they'd let that go? They wouldn't let that go. They would not let that go. How about if they voted to kill a black person? I mean, that'd be pretty evil. What if Missouri voted to take away all land from black people? You think Clarence Thomas would say, well, it's states' rights. No, he wouldn't. Hey, we're out of time. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.